Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Steve Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for this day is recorded in the 12th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for men to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
And now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
O grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus is minding his own business, his Father's business. The disciples, being hungry, help themselves to a field of grain. And then the incident comes. Unlawfulness, Sabbath violator, a teacher whose pupils are blasphemously trashing God's divine ordinance. It is astonishing that something so benign can become so powerful. The disciples grabbing a meal on the go. It turns into a major event illustrating Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of the law. You would think that something so significant would occur in Jerusalem, and certainly the temple. Hence, Jesus brings the temple into the conversation. It again is astonishing that what occurs here in the field of wheat is greater than the temple himself. For Jesus says, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." If you have a bit of a rebellious streak in you, you may cheer on the rapier-sharp wit of the Lord. Clap your hands and say, "Go, Jesus! Stick it to the man!" Use their own words against them. But much more is going on than a deliberation on the interpretation of Sabbath law. Some at this point think Jesus rejects rabbinic law, and this is not true. Jesus often gets into dust-ups with the rabbis of his day, and with their interpretations of the law. It's true. But consider what's really going on here. In the framework of Jewish law and culture, God chose to make known the gospel. First century Judaism was the arena in which God played out his plan of salvation. This is not a debate, but a pronouncement of the gospel. This is not Jesus twisting the law, but fulfilling it. The Lord speaks about the flight of David, and then demonstrates how rock steady and immovable he is in winning our salvation. He speaks of the bread of presence, all the while as being the bread of life. The Lord tells of priests, knowing he is the great high priest and supreme sacrifice for us all. Jesus is present with us always. Now, the crown of his conversation in the field, The neon light passage is where Jesus declares, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So now the topic takes a dramatic shift. It shifts to who Christ is to us. It's a tough world out there. More often than not, life dishes out pretty ugly portions on our already crowded plate. You come here to hear God's word, and you're tired. You bow your head in prayer, and petitions become images. Cancer of a loved one. You picture a friend struggling with debilitating addiction. A loved one who keeps landing in jail. A family member who turns their back on Christ. And you may be working through deep issues of post-traumatic stress or loss of health. You wonder, is life even worth it? You look at the news and you just simply sigh. The world's gone upside down. The fulfillment of Isaiah, where he says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness on light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Original sin and devastation of the law ring in our ears and resonate in our sin-darkened hearts. The vicious assaults of sin, death, and the power of the devil confess us to look elsewhere than our own intellect, our own sharp wit, attempts to live a good life. There is good news in that field. Jesus confronts the difficulties of this life. Christ reminds us he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and in so doing, Lord and King of the universe. In Matthew 12, he establishes himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. He defines the care and concern of his people by the pronouncement of him as indeed Lord and King. Again, this isn't about ridding us of the law, but Jesus fulfilling it in our place. You see, the lordship of Jesus is sweet. It's gospel for us. The Pharisees saw the fulfillment of the Sabbath as the linchpin and the focal point on obedience to all the law. Pages and pages of rules and regulations and exceptions and restraints. Terrible, repressive, pedantic, and in violation of God's design for salvation. Think of how brutal the law is. It reminds us of our soiled, sin-stained condition. The law judges us harshly and accurately. The law is fair, not kind, and not merciful. It pronounces harsh judgment, and we deserve blow after blow of its pummeling brutality. The consequences are clear: hell, death, no hope, the grave, and the final judgment that assures you a place in hell. The brutality of our human condition is not intended to be a shocker to you. You know all this. We know about the Garden of Eden. We know about Adam and Eve thrown out of the garden, which brought suffering and death into the world. We know about the devastating accusations that this delivers. But there is more. Jesus, walking in the grain field and confronting the Pharisees, compels us to look to him in faith for hope and salvation. You know, by knowing the circumstances of our condition, we're pointed to a cure. But the treatment is not found in the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, use the latest technology, human ability, or initiative. It is rooted in Jesus, the eternal Son of God, promised in Scripture, fulfilled by his incarnation, who volunteered up his life, the same Lord who suffered even death on the cross, true man and true God, who rose victorious over hell, death, and the grave, becoming sin for us and by his death granting us life everlasting. Earlier I presented a list of terrible things that happen to us and those around us, the stuff that just simply wears you out. Before we draw our conclusion to the futility of life, the Lord has something to say to the worn out, the sick, the defeated, and dog-tired. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. Sin with all its rawness, coupled with living in a fallen world, hurts. Satan wants you to think your prayers have fallen on deaf ears, but God in Christ does not abandon you. We are reminded in the closing verse, the good news is for everyone who believes. Christ is victorious. Yeah, addictions and health and illness are all reminders of our fallen humanity and need to look to the Good Shepherd. He will keep his promises through all the terrible things that go on, a consequence of the Garden of Eden. But the new Adam, Jesus, takes away our sins. He fulfills the law in our place with his perfect obedience and sacrifice on the cross. Jesus defeated death and desires to have you live and dwell with him forever. This is an event that should not be just our own little secret, something we keep quiet, a treasure buried in a field never utilized. We share this good news of Jesus wherever we are. So when confronted by the burden of our condition, when convicted by the terror of the law, remember Jesus in the wheat field and the words of the Apostle Paul. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God bless you. Amen.